This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a couple of weeks since the Winter Olympics took place in Sochi, Russia. But you may not have heard the story of my next guest. Her name is Brittany Kaysen. Brittany is not an Olympic athlete. She used to be an NFL cheerleader, and she's done quite a few years of broadcasting and radio and television. But when she got invited to go to Sochi, it didn't turn out to be exactly the adventure she hoped it would be. She's here now to tell her story. Brittany, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul.
Your story involves two ugly words, human trafficking. Before we get to what that could have turned into, tell me how this whole thing started.
Back in September, a, quote, talent acquisition agent contacted me via my website, offering me a job doing, like, live MC work for sponsored events surrounding the Olympics and kind of like the beat reporting. As he sold it, it would be like a Miss Sprint Cup for the Winter Olympics, which fit right into what I had been doing. So, you know, if he had told me that I would be corresponding for the Games, it wouldn't have made sense because the most I really know about the Winter Olympics is stuff I've seen in, you know, the movie Cool Runnings.
Okay, so he calls you and he wants you to tell him about yourself, and does he make you send in an audition tape or anything?
Oh, it was a four-month vetting process. I sent in my reels, my audio demos, and he even would write back like, well, this doesn't show as much of your personality since you're going to be, you know, live. Can you record yourself and see in a radio event that you have coming up? Or, well, why don't you put together, you know, this part of your audio reel for these segments you've done on the show, and can you send me other stuff? So I was jumping through hoops, putting together reels to go through this audition process.
Okay.
Which made me believe that it was a legitimate opportunity.
And while he's checking you out this way, are you checking him out to find out if this guy is what he says he is?
Yeah, you know, when he had a website, and in his Twitter, which I know, you know, validation and Twitter don't really go together unless you're talking about a verified Twitter, but he was posting pictures from these different events because he said that he brings talent and sponsorship dollars to certain events. So he seemed as legitimate as anyone I'd worked with before in this industry.
Okay.
He even sent me a non-disclosure agreement before, you know, sending me contract information.
So months go by and you're sending him stuff and checking him out, and then something raised a red flag in your mind. What was that?
Well, about 2 weeks before we were slated to go, he told me he needed to expand his host team and asked if I knew of any of my girlfriends that wanted to go. And, you know, working in the industry, I'm kind of a workaholic, so most of my girlfriends are in the same industry. And so I made some suggestions of girls that I knew that would be able to go, you know, with only 2 weeks, you know, without contract conflicts or anything like that. And instead of, you know, asking, oh, let me see her reel or asking for her work, he just sent me, it was, quote, assistant, sent me a link to a work visa for her to fill out. And that was the red flag. Like, why are you wanting her work visa without wanting her work when you've been vetting me for 4 months?
Yeah.
So my friend is really talented, but that just didn't make any sense.
When you say his assistant, man or woman?
Oh, a woman. She doesn't exist, though.
What do you mean she doesn't exist?
There were about five or six people that he was pretending to be throughout this whole process, but an IT search showed that it was all coming from him. So, and, you know, that was another thing. But after she sent me that, I wrote her back and I said, hey, can you give me a call when you have the chance? I just have a couple questions. And instead of her calling me, he called me. And that was another red flag because I'm like, but why are you, you know, why are you doing your assistant's work? And, you know, it was just red. After the first red flag, it was red flag after red flag. And that's when I reached out to the other girl slated to go because he told me, you know, well in advance that he had hired this other girl who had the same credentials as me. She's a sportscaster. She does a lot of live MC work. And we both established that our instincts were telling us the same thing.
Did this guy hold himself up to be from NBC or some other major broadcaster, either TV or radio?
He claimed to be a talent acquisition agent for a large network that was, and then a production company that was hired from the network. So he said the contract would be coming from a production company that puts on live events at the Olympics. And ultimately, that's we reached out to the production company, and they responded and said they didn't know who this guy was, confirmed that it was fraudulent, warned us not to travel, and even, you know, offered us help by getting their lawyers involved. So they were really great. We're very grateful to them because potentially we would have gotten on the plane had we not heard that from them.
And what do you suspect might have happened if you did get on that plane and go to Russia?
That is a scary, scary thought. And, you know, I feel so blessed that I didn't have to experience that. And that's why I shared my story, because I didn't feel like I could just walk away from this and be like, oh, glad I'm okay. It's like, no, I need to spread awareness that this happened and that recruiting women through modeling and talent agencies is one of the number one ways that women are lured into human trafficking. And I've been working with a lot of human traffic awareness organizations, and they're all, you know, almost every survivor story begins with, I thought I was going on a modeling job, or I was sent to do a modeling job in a foreign country. And that's when I was like, I really need to step up and just help spread awareness.
And when you've
my story.
I was just going to say, when you've talked to these other people who have been taken, I hate to invoke Liam Neeson's name here, but or his movie, but when they have been taken for human trafficking, what has happened to them? Are they sold into sex slavery? What goes on?
Well, a lot of times they will just hold a woman captive and make them do what they want. It's like they own you. And fortunately, you know, a lot of the survivors I talked to, it was more domestic situation, so they were able to escape a lot easier. One woman, though, she was flown to a foreign country, and she convinced her captors to send her back and promised not to tell, and then, that's how she escaped. But, I mean, there's no telling. Like you said, with Liam Neeson, you know, most people think human trafficking is just something that happens in a movie or in foreign countries, and I shared my story to say, no, it can happen to anyone.
Are the Olympics and large events like that, particularly overseas, I would think maybe the World Cup would also fall into this category, are those particular draws for these human traffickers?
Yes. Actually, I've learned through working with the human trafficking organizations that that's one of the number one situations where it happens, you know, the Super Bowl, the Olympics, the World Cup, because you have a very large population of men. And it's, you know, a male-dominated situation with a lot of money involved. So it's supply and demand. They will, you know, bring more women in for those, you know, events.
When you raised, or when all these red flags were raised for you, did you contact the FBI?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't involve them until we got confirmation from the production company that it was fraudulent. So because we thought we were just being paranoid because we were seeing all this stuff on the news about Sochi and the dangers and the threats. And, you know, we thought, oh, we're just being paranoid. You know, this is a great opportunity. It's just, you know, a scary situation. And we actually risked stepping on this guy's toes to contact the production company because that's just, you know, you've got your casting, you got your production company, you got your network.
Yeah.
Normally, the three don't intersect until the event. But We're very, very fortunate and glad that we did.
I've only got 30 seconds left here, but tell me, what did the FBI do when you contacted them? Are they familiar with this sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they immediately got involved. I had to send them all of the, you know, the flight itinerary, the non-disclosure agreement. I mean, every correspondence that we ever had, you know, they now have. And unfortunately, this situation isn't uncommon.
Are they taking action against the guy? Is there a pending case?
Yes.
Yeah. I gather that's why we didn't go into names here. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing the story. And I'm glad that you didn't go and you stayed home and you're safe, Brittany.
Thank you so much. And thanks for helping me spread awareness.
You're very welcome. Brittany Kaysen, nearly the victim of some human trafficking or some sort of scam at the Sochi Olympic Games. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.